Welcome back to the Born a Wall podcast on this beautiful Friday, November the 8th. We got a lot to talk about. We are going to recap Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football's electric games. We're going to talk about the NFL trade deadline that just happened this past Tuesday. We're also going to look forward to the NBA, NFL, and college football this weekend. And for the first time ever, I will introduce the Born a Wall podcast NBA Team of the Week. A lot to talk about on this Friday, but hell, I'm excited, so let's get into it. First off, with Monday Night Football. Usually when I come back and I recap the games that happen on Monday and Thursday, either both are mediocre or we get one good game, one bad game. But kicking it off with Monday Night Football, it was a thriller. And Thursday night was too, but we'll talk about that a little later. But as for Monday Night Football, the Chiefs beat the Buccaneers in overtime 30-24. For the bet, it was probably the best game for Patrick Mahomes all season. He had 34 completions, 291 yards, and 3 passing TDs. Two of them going to DeAndre Hopkins, who had 8 catches for 86 yards. D-Hop had a beautiful contested catch on third down. Mahomes perfectly placed it, and they got inside, I would say, maybe the 15-10 yard line. Beautiful ball. Got me out of my seat, and man, I'm at a loss of words. That's how great it was, man. Kareem Hunt, Unk still got it, man. 27 carries, 106 rushing yards, and 1 TD. Travis Kelce, 4 catches for 100 yards. Solid, I mean. I remember people talking about these guys were leading stats in 2017. D-Hop in receiver stat, Travis in a tight end, and Kareem in a rushing. But they're all three together, what, maybe 7 years later, and they're freaking killing it, man. It was a beautiful game to watch. And for DeAndre being just now getting into the playbook, just now getting with the team, he can only get better, in my opinion. Kareem Hunt's going to get Isaiah Pacheco back in. That 1-2 tandem, that 1-2 punch that's going to be in the late season and playoffs, I find it very hard for somebody to stop this rushing attack. I find it very hard. And Travis Kelce's finally catching his groove. I'm going to come out and say I'm sorry for calling you washed because you are proving me wrong. He's catching his groove, man. But on the Bucs side of things, Baker without no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin, no Jalen McMillan. He came out and he looked spectacular, in my opinion. 23 completions, 200 yards, even, and 2 passing TDs. Cade Otton was his favorite target on the night. He had 8 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. He also had 11 targets. I mean, I was thinking about that Cade Otton over, but I'm like, you know what? I trust Spags, but once again, we can't cover tight end at all. Rashad White, a Kansas City native, never went to a Chiefs game before, but in his first game in Arrowhead he's ever been to as a fan, player, whatever, he scores a touchdown. You know, I think maybe we should have given that a little over, but Reed Sheppard looks solid. He had a spectacular catch on that late game tying drive. But overall, for the Chiefs defensively, I was a little disappointed, but I'm like, you know what? You're not going to be perfect all the time. You know, I think Spags was just a little lackluster. I think everything was lackluster. But it is what it is, man. I'm not going to complain. On the Bucs side of things, he competed with the Super Bowl champions, the back-to-back, going for a three-peat. You competed with them. You know, a lot of people questioned if Todd Bowles, should have went for two. And I'm always mixed on that opinion because, like, yeah, go for two, get with the win. But at the same time, it's like it is a 50-50 chance you get the ball in overtime and you can go down to score and win the game. So, I mean, I get the argument, but, I mean, hell, I know you don't want to determine on a coin flip. But at the same time, though, you know, would you rather lose the game there in overtime? I don't know. I'm mixed reviews because as a non-Bucks fan, I'm like, you know what? I get why you don't go for two. You can get the coin flip in overtime and get the ball and score. But that's not how it happened. But I do understand Bucks fans why you didn't go for it. Like the Patriots should have done when they played the Titans. When Drake May got that spectacular touchdown, they should have went for two. You have nothing to lose in that game anyways. And just for the Bucks, you got your two best receivers out, two of your best players. You really got nothing to lose. And you probably should have went for two, but I like Todd Bowles, so I'm not going to slander him that much, man. You know, I don't know. I just got a little respect for him for some reason. But defensively for the Bucks, though, Vita Vea was all over it, man. He had 3 quarterback hits and 2 sacks. Just dominant, man. You know, he was eating up that interior line, especially on passing downs, and a force to be reckoned with the whole game, man. But overall, it was a solid game. For the Chiefs side of things, you're going to add Isaiah Pacheco back, Charles Omenihu. You're going to add Mike Dana. You didn't add a cornerback at the trade deadline, which I'll talk a little later, but I'm going to trust this team and what they and their thoughts. You're going to add Juju down the line. Marquise Brown is due to get healthy maybe mid-late December, hopefully early January. So you're going to add, four or five pieces. You got Josh Uche just now getting into the playbook. I mean, hell, he nearly blocked a punt on Monday. He got a tackle or two. I mean, you add in pieces, and you're only going to get better down the line. So, yeah, so injury sucks, man. I saw Rashee Rice on his IG story back in the facility getting some work, and, of course, he's not going to come back no matter what. But man, I think we have the best medical staff out there because Patrick Mahomes aggravated that ankle sprain. Dude looked like he was going to be out the game, but comes back, trots out there, standing ovation, gets a touchdown. If I'm not mistaken, I think he did. I don't know, maybe I'm talking about my ass. Maybe we went 3-and-out, but yeah. Great game for the Chiefs, you know. I felt like we could have blown the team out, but maybe we're just not built to blow teams out. But next week, you get the Broncos. I'll talk about that a little later. It's going to be an interesting game right there. But for the Bucks, I think it was a good performance, man. On the road, red conditions, without your two best players, and you competed with the Super Bowl defending champion. So, hey, it's not all bad for the Bucks, but I get why you should have went for two. But overall, great game, man. Now let's dive into what was even a better game between the Bengals and Ravens. All right, fellas, even with Al Michaels stinking up our ears, you know, shout out Kirk Herbstreit, you know, I think he's a solid commentator, you know, RP Ben Herbstreit, beautiful golden retriever, RP to a real one, man, but shout out Kirk and amazing call last night. But for the Bengals and Ravens, the Ravens won this one 35-34. Joe Burrow was electric. 34 completions, 428 passing yards, and 4 passing TDs. Seeing any prayers out to anybody that played against Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, or Ja'Marr Chase, who had 264 yards, 3 receiving touchdowns, and 11 catches, man. I mean, spooky sight. I had Ja'Marr on the over last night, and that was a no-brainer, dude. He cleared that thing, man. His longest catch was 70 yards. He had 103 yards after the catch. I mean, Ravens DB core couldn't stop him if they wanted to. Granted, Kyle Hamilton, one of the league's best safeties, was out, I would say, for the majority of the second half. Hell, the whole second half, I think. So, I can't really blame him, but I don't know. Even without Kyle Hamilton, I don't think a guy should ever dominate your DB room like this. You know, their secondary was out there looking lost against them, but outside of that, man, Chase Brown had some good plays. He had 13 carries, 42 yards, and 1 TD. He had a clutch fourth down catch, you know, at the end of the game to get down the field and score that eventual touchdown. But overall, I mean, without T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase stepped up even bigger than anybody imagined, man. On the flip side of things, Lamar Jackson, 25 completions, 290 pass yards, and 4 passing TDs. I think through the whole first half, he had less than 100 passing yards. And boom, that second half he exploded. Tylan Wallace had 3 catches for 115 yards and a TD. He, of course, had that 84-yard touchdown. Mark Andrews caught a touchdown as well. 6 catches, 68 yards, of course, that 1 tutty. Derrick Henry with the rushing touchdown, but overall, he was stopped. Bengals defense was on that. Their DC Lou, I forget how to pronounce his last name, so I'm just going to say Lou, had him on clamps. Derrick Henry, oof. 16 carries, 68 yards, and a rushing touchdown is a great stat line for anybody else but Derrick Henry. I mean, overall, he really couldn't move much. You know, he had, even on 4.3 rushing yards per attempt, you know, it still wasn't the best nights for him. But overall, though, the Ravens just shined that whole second half. Cincinnati's tackling, just miscues shined in that second half. I mean, Joe Burrow, even, you know, on a fourth down call, threw it deep. He did it back on third down and fourth down. You know, when he threw it deep on third down, everybody was thinking, okay, they're most obviously going for it on fourth. But on fourth down, he didn't care about just getting past the marker. He just threw that thing up trying to get a touchdown. Didn't hit. You know, so plays like that, you can look back on and be like, damn, the Bengals should have capitalized and won this game. Justin Tucker missed an extra point. Like, there was mistakes by both sides, but the Bengals couldn't capitalize, man. You will go for two at the end of the game, man. If you look back on it, a lot of people are saying, damn, that was a flag or two. You know, they should have had another chance to go get it, but fortunately, I guess the refs are blind for more than one team that's not named the Chiefs. So let's see if people complain about that or not. But yeah, Lamar Jackson with another MVP-like performance. On paper, I think you might give him the MVP right now, but I mean, like I said, who cares about regular season awards if the guy, you know, doesn't show up in the playoffs? And that's not a diss thing, man. I mean, overall, I bet Lamar would swap every single MVP he's got for a Super Bowl ring, because you know how much that means to his legacy and the city of Baltimore. So it's going to be interesting to see on award ceremony night if he wins that Super Bowl. I mean, excuse me, that MVP, but it's two other teams in the Super Bowl that aren't the Ravens. So it's going to be interesting to see for sure, man. But overall, a great game. I mean, Al Michaels was just, he's got to get this guy. We got to get him out the booth, though, for real. Al Michaels is just, he's severely washed, but man, an electric game. I caught the second half, and I was glued to my phone the whole time, man. Ja'Marr Chase is just like that, bro. That's all I can say. He is like that, man. But unfortunately for the Bengals, with six losses, third in the AFC North, you still got a bye week to go. It's not looking pretty, man. You look at their schedule, and I'll talk about it a little later. Well, I won't talk about them a little later, but next week we'll talk about them playing the Chargers. If I'm not mistaken, Sunday Night Football, you get the Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, and you end it off with the Steelers again. I mean, I think you're due to drop one to the Steelers. I think the Cowboys, Broncos, and hell, even the Chargers are all capable of beating you. I mean, at the end of the day, I do think they're still in play for that 7th or 6th seed. I think the Broncos are due to lose to a few more games too. I mean, it's still up in the air for the Bengals, you know, but 6 losses right now isn't pretty at all. You could have beat the Ravens twice this season and flipped your whole record, but shooting yourself in the foot doesn't help at all. A few missed penalties, a few bad calls, a few missed tackles, and here you are 0-2 on the Ravens versus the season. As for the Ravens, their mistakes and miscues in the first half didn't come to bite them in their ass. Even in the beginning of the second half, the missed extra points, the missed tackles, the blown coverage, hell, didn't bother them at all. They come back to win this one, 35-34, and then this is why I love Thursday Night Football, man, because when they can deliver on games like this, all I can say is I'm in awe, but we got to get Al Michaels out the damn studio. Hashtag get Al Michaels out the booth. Let's get that training, man. But let's stop talking for football for a little bit and get into some National Basketball Association. And for the first time ever on the Born to Ball podcast, I'm going to introduce the Born to Ball NBA Team of the Week. I'll give you the 5 best players I thought so far in the week. We only had 3 game days so far, which was Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I can't talk about what happens tonight and Friday night's games, and I'm not going to talk about Sunday. All right? We're going to go from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday on Friday's podcast. I'll give the Team of the Week. So bear with me. We got the best 6 players, in my opinion, for the Born to Ball podcast, NBA Team of the Week. So let's get into that. I wish I could get some music going like Family Feud or Jeopardy, man. But for that point guard position, I came into it giving it to Darius Garland. But the more I put thought into it, the more I'm realizing that for the first Born to Ball podcast, NBA Team of the Week, for the point guard spot, we got Russell Westbrook. Unk had an efficient 21-6-6 game versus the Raptors on Monday. On Thursday versus his former team, he followed it up with a 29-point performance versus the Thunder on 66%. Dude, he was efficient on both nights, put up over 20 points, and got his little rebound assist, and the Nuggets won. Of course, we know the Nuggets have been on a downtrend so far, but Brody has helped them get back on the rise, but we'll talk about another of his teammates later when I get down the list. But right now, Russell Westbrook is going to be the first point guard on the Born to Ball podcast NBA Team of the Week. For shooting guard, I got Anthony Edwards, man. He had 2 wins this week, 21 points on Monday and 33 on Thursday. What can I say? I thought he was solid all week. One of the best players in the league at this point. Hey, when you get your team 2 wins in the stack, West, that is important, all right? 21 points on Monday, 33 on Thursday. He's been efficient. He's shot a lot of threes, and he's been efficient with that as well, man. But Anthony Edwards, first shooting guard for the Born to Ball podcast NBA Team of the Week. Small forward, we got Kevin Durant. 2 30-point-plus performances on Monday and Wednesday versus the Sixers and the Heat. 2 playoff-caliber teams. In close games, KD showed up, all right? He was electric on Monday. He was electric on Wednesday. It don't matter. All right, from the Grim Reaper, he'll show up any damn day of the week and give you some buckets. He knows how to do it. He can do it. So shout out KD, first small forward out here. For the power forward position, I feel like small forward, power forward are just going to be wings. You know, we're going to throw them in there. Don't matter. It's the wing spot of the team. I got Jason Tatum. All right, he had 32-4 versus Golden State. Even though they lost that game, it is what it is. I thought his performance wasn't bad. Let's also keep in mind, we've only had 3 weeks of game weeks, all right? And Thursday, we only had 3 games. So mainly, it's Monday and Wednesday we're going off games. So Jason Tatum's in here because of that, all right? He also had 28-9 and 6 threes versus the Hawks on Monday, which they did win that game. So overall, I thought it was a solid week for Jason Tatum. He's been arguably the best player this season. And hell, he'd get my MVP vote right now, all right? And for that center spot, I said I'd bring up Brody's teammate and Nikola Jokic. He deserves to be in here as well. Of course, he contributed to the 2 wins as well. He beat the Thunder, giving them their first loss of the year. He had back-to-back triple-doubles. Shout out, Brody. He had 28, 14, and 13 on Monday. And then on Thursday, He had 23-20-16. Damn near just gave us a 20-20-20 if he had four more assists. And shit, he probably could have had that. But overall, I mean, what can I say? Solid week from Jokic, man. I don't know if voter fatigue is going to bottom an ass, but if he can get this team to the top two seed in the West, keep performing like this, I will feel like it's going to be hard to argue another MVP for him. But like I said, Jason Tatum's worthy of it. Hell, Kevin Durant. Hey, the talent in this league is amazing. What can I say, man? But for that six-man spot, originally was Russell Westbrook, but the more I thought about it, I had to split this between Darius Garland and Stephen Curry. All right, both off of one performance. For Darius Garland, of course, it was that 39 points on 85 true shooting and 8 assists versus the Bucks in a big game on Monday night. For Stephen Curry, it was the 27-point performance versus the Celtics, multiple threes, big win on the road versus Boston. He showed up late in that fourth quarter. So they are my sixth man. You know, I have to split that spot, all right, because they're both off one performance. So next week on Friday, it'll be a little cleaner because we'll have games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So a lot of teams will have a chance to play two games to give me a good feel on who needs to be in that spot. All right. But right now, that was the first ever Born to Ball Podcast NBA Team of the Week. All right, I'll repeat it. Russell Westbrook at the point guard spot. Shooting guard, I had Anthony Edwards. Small forward and power forward was Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. At center, it was Nikola Jokic. And for the sixth man, it was a split between Darius Garland and Stephen Curry, man. All right, I'm going to remember who was on this list. So all those guys have earned their first stripe, their first check mark. All right. Maybe for Brody, we never see him again, but for the rest of these guys, Jokic, Tatum, KD, and you'll probably see for the rest of the year, Curry too, all right? So, thank you for listening to that part, man. We're going to get back to football real quick, college football. And yeah, this is probably going to be a short episode, man, but let's get straight into that college ball, man. You guys, you know I have to inform you on what to do, what to really watch, especially on Friday nights. You know I got to do it, man. So, on this beautiful Friday night in November, you really ain't got much to watch. I'm gonna be honest with you. We're lucky we got NBA, we got college basketball and college football, so you're not just stuck with college football tonight. All right, you got 4-4 Cal versus 4-4 Wake Forest if you got ACC Network. If you don't, if you just got Fox, go watch the 6-3 Hawkeyes versus the 3-5 UCLA Bruins. On my UCLA dynasty save on College Football 25, I blew out the Hawkeyes like 48-10. I cooked in that game. And I expect the Bruins can do the same thing, all right? Or if you got ESPN2, you can watch Rice 3-6 versus 7-2 Memphis, who are breaking my heart because I had them as my G5 representative in the college football playoffs, but it's looking like it'll be Boise State. Lastly, FS1, some late night Mountain West, San Diego State University versus University of North Mexico. You know, four games, not that bad if you don't watch it, but Saturday, we're here for Saturday's games, all right? Man. Big noon kickoff. I don't know what that's going to be, honestly, because ain't nobody watching Purdue versus Ohio State, all right? You got Florida versus Texas. The big news for Florida-wise is Billy Napier, who I've talked about for weeks getting fired, is going to return to be the head coach next year. They felt like, hey, it's 4-4 performance so far this year. He's worthy of it. I mean, can they get a bowl game? I mean, shit. You got LSU, Texas, Ole Miss, and FSU left to play. If you ask me, you know, I think he's going to get that FSU win, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't win another game. They could possibly upset Ole Miss, but really, what I'm looking at right now is Billy Napier is going to save his job with a 5-win season. That's what on paper I think he's going to save it with a 5-win season, but very well they could lose out and he only has 4 wins, but yep, you heard it first, guys. You ain't hear it here first, but shit, you heard Billy Napier will return to be Florida as coach. Later down in the day, you got Miami versus Georgia Tech. Last year, Georgia Tech, in one of the craziest endings in years, beat Miami last year, broke all their hearts. Well, Miami on the road can get some revenge and possibly beat Georgia Tech on the road. Excuse me. Get towards the middle afternoon, you got... trying to find some good games for y'all, man. You got 5-4 Michigan versus top 10 ranked Indiana, who are 9-0. Oof, that's gonna be interesting, man. Michigan's kind of falling off, you know, unfortunately. But I don't give a damn. We're the real M. Mizzou. M-I-Z. Georgia versus Ole Miss is going to be in a huge game because for Ole Miss, you're not going to make the playoffs with three losses. This is your biggest game of the season. Ole Miss, who, if you look at the remaining of their schedule, after Georgia, it gets easy. It's Florida and Mississippi State, all right? It gets easy. If you can upset Georgia, you probably are going to be in the college football playoffs. That's just how it is. But if you lose with three losses, you're not going to make it. Jackson Dart, Carson Beck. Right now, I think the Bulldogs win. I think they win quite easily in a blowout game. But who knows, man? Will Ole Miss have that juice to possibly save their season? We'll find out. At 3 o'clock, you have a huge Big 12 game. It'll be 6-2 Colorado versus 6-3 Texas Tech. I mean, Shador, Travis Hunter, those guys. It's going to be interesting for sure, man. Big Colorado, of course, are 20th right now in the nation. They could possibly win the Big 12 and be in the college football playoffs. It's a real possibility. You look at Colorado's remaining schedule, and you got this tough game versus Texas Tech. You got Utah, KU, and Oklahoma State. On paper, this looked like the gauntlet of a lifetime for Colorado. But as we got through the season, Utah hasn't been as good as we thought. KU, not as good as we thought. Oklahoma State, not as good as we thought. If you beat Texas Tech, what are we looking at, 7-2? My God, I mean, you're going to be 10-2, probably first in the Big Ten. Or second, first or second in the Big Ten. You're going to be, excuse me, I said Big Ten. First or second in the Big 12, excuse me. And you're going to play for a title game. You're going to possibly be in the college football playoffs, which is going to be insane to think about. But it's a real possibility, you know. So, big game for both teams. Texas Tech can continue to keep themselves in the race, man. But if I had to give a winner, I'm going to go Texas Tech. At home, big game. Biggest game, I think, in Colorado's Deion Sanders tenure, I can at least say. Because this game can either rise you up the rankings, and hell, you could really be a genuine contender for the college football playoffs, or you lose this, and as the 20th team in the country, you probably fall out that top 25. So, huge game right there. Other games, you got Mizzou versus Oklahoma. SEC Network, unfortunately. I don't know why the hell Tennessee versus Mississippi State is on ESPN above this, but it don't matter, all right? Mizzou is going to wipe the floor with Oklahoma off the bye. Brady Cook a little healthy. Expect MIZ Tigers to wipe the damn floor. I don't know why OU would be favored at all in this game. All right, so give me MIZ Tigers. Y'all know where my heart stands. Later down, the biggest game of the night, 6:30 ABC, LSU number 15 versus Alabama number 11. Both teams 6-2. Just like we said with Ole Miss, whoever loses this game, you're practically out the college football playoffs. You're not going to be in there with three losses. That's illegal. It can't happen. Committee, if I see a team with three losses, we're going to riot, all right? We're going to storm wherever y'all stay at because that can't happen. No team with three losses should be in the college football playoffs, all right? We missed the four-team playoff thing where if you lost a game, your season's probably over. Notre Dame, earlier in the year, when they lost to NIU, season should have been over. Ole Miss, Tennessee, when they lost to Arkansas. Alabama, when they lost to Vanderbilt. Hey, team season should have been over, but with the college football playoffs, with two losses, you're still alive, all right? Hell, you see Mizzou? I think they're ranked 25th in the college football playoff polls. So, shit, their season ain't over with two losses. I mean, if they win out, you see Alabama, LSU knock each other out, Ole Miss falls back. It's possible, all right, man? They'll eliminate the two lost teams in the Big Ten and in the SEC, but excluding Alabama, LSU, Ashton Dean team, can maybe get some stats on Fox. They're favored by 24 points versus Nevada. BYU. Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, BYU does play. They play Utah in a big rivalry game. 9:15 ESPN on the road. Washington versus Penn State, who lost on Saturday to Ohio State. But overall, a solid slate. I ain't gonna lie. If I do have the free time, I imagine I do. I will be glued to my screen for a few of these games. OU, Mizzou, LSU, Bama. All right, it's going to be interesting. One of the better slates we see going forward for the rest of the season, man. But that's it for college football. I just gave you some of the winners, some of them big games, what to watch, some players to watch, all right? So thank you for listening to that portion. And before we talk NFL, let me holler at you with some prize pick tickets, all right? Let me holler at you real quick. Fellas, so I remember talking to you a few weeks ago about gambling, how it wasn't my thing, I had to retire. Basically, Underdog ended up banning me from using my phone on the app, at least. I can still use my account, but I have to do it on my computer. So I kind of steered away from that, especially when Prize Picks Arena Play became legal here in Missouri, you know. And speaking of Missouri, I don't do politics, none of that, but gambling did become legal in the state, so shit. Whenever that gets running, your boy's going to get a lot flashier with the shits, all right? Especially in that second half of the NBA season. Maybe in NFL playoffs, it could get legalized around the Super Bowl. March Madness, stuff like that, but all right, your boy's been cooking, all right, man. Let me talk to you about some of my past winnings, you know. Really didn't cook up on that first day. I had Monday Night Football. I ended up doing D-Hop over on his yards. Kareem getting a touchdown. Mahomes over on his yards. I had Alfred Shingun getting more than 14.5 points. He got that. Donovan Mitchell I had getting over 26 points. But Darius Garland ended up taking it off and doing that shit for him. But it don't even matter, you know. Prize Picks gave me a good little promo where I was able to have a free ticket or something. Three-leg power, man. Prize Picks promos clutch. I love them. I'm going to use every single one I can get. Try to cook up something for the Mac. I ended up failing this guy, Braden Sloan. Shout out to you, my boy. I had you over 51.5 rush yards. You got 16 in the first quarter. Didn't get it again. I'm pretty sure he got injured, but I didn't look into it because, I don't know, it's promo money. All right, I deposited $5. He gave me 50. That was promo money I used, all right? And then I tried to cook up with some NHL. It ain't work. Sunday, I had Thursday Night Football. I cooked up. Derrick Henry got his over on his touchdown. Jamar Chase washed his over on yards. Zay Flowers, though, couldn't give me freaking 60 yards. So, yeah, nice on that. NBA, I spun back. Did Chet over on points. Didn't get it. RJ Barrett on rebounds plus assists over 12. Didn't get it. Cade Cunningham had 14 first quarter points. I had him over 23.5. He finished the game with 20. Luckily, they lost that game. He didn't deserve to win that. But I think my first ever winnings, I put a $10 thing out. They gave me a little discount on Shea's points for 28. He was at, I think, freaking 28 points solid. But they dropped it down to 23.5. Got on that. Got on Stephen Curry's over on 24 points. Boom, they both hit. $10 turned into 30. But tonight, I got three lineups made for y'all, man. And hopefully you listen, man. Hopefully y'all listening to this, man. All right? I ain't got nothing set up for Sunday. If you follow the Twitter, I'll probably come out with some Sunday stuff right there for y'all. But for NBA and college basketball tonight, I cooked something up. So I got my three lineup, my three pick lineup. $20 turned to 100, all right? I got Jalen Green over 2.5 threes made, all right? He's going to hit this line. He shoots enough threes to hit this line, all right? Versus the Thunder, hell, if they get down big, they're gonna start throwing up threes, all right? And Jalen's going to be part of that, so I believe in that. I got Alfred Shingun over 3.5 assists. I mean, look at his past games. He had 4, 5, 4, 4, 5. They ended up dropping it down, I guess, another one because now he's currently at 2.5. I got him at 3.5. So, luckily, I think I'm going to make a little more money with the 3.5. But he's smashed this line every game, and I believe he can do that, man. That's light work. And lastly, I got Tyrese Haliburton for overall rebounds plus assists at 13.5. He's playing Charlotte. Man, he's going to get his, bro. I'm not stressing that one bit. Tyrese Haliburton is going to get his that night. All right, so that's $20 turned to 100. Right now, I ended up throwing a little $5 that turns into 12.50. Both NBA and college basketball mixed this one in. I had Stephen Curry over 2.5 3 points made versus Cleveland. He's just going to hit this, you know. They got a Green Goblin next to it. They just know he's going to hit this mark. He's going to get his threes up. Best shooter ever. You know he's going to cash that. And then for a Goblin, a genuine, a red, a devil, I think that's what they call it, the devil, man. Tamar Bates over 1.5 3 points made. He shot, I think he hit this on Monday versus the Memphis Tigers. Now they play the Howard Bison's HBCU. I believe he's going to smash that. He shot enough. If you go look at all his games last season, this season, he shot enough threes to easily hit this. Versus Howard, he's going to get open. He's going to cash this, all right? So $5 turned into $12.50. But this is my big boy right here. All right, I spun back on that Tamar Bates. I'm a believer in that, man. 1.5, I believe he's going to hit 2 easily. I'm a believer, so I spun back to that. I added that to another 4-pick lineup. I spun back to Alfred Shingun, too. But instead, I did his over on 14-plus rebounds plus assists, all right? Like I said, Chet, I love Chet, man. One of my favorite players in the league, but little body. I think LP is going to get his boards. He's going to get his assist, all right? If you ask me, I think LP's going to get 10-5 easily. Whatever he gets past that, that's just dessert, all right? That's leftovers. And then I spun back to Mizzou again. I had Mark Mitchell over 10.5 points. Howard Bisons. We're not worried, all right? Mark Mitchell missed. He had 8 points on Monday. He missed 4 free throws, all right? He missed a few shots as well. He could have easily hit this over on Monday. So I believe he does it again versus Howard. All right? Lastly, I got Sabonis over 30 rebounds plus points. Playing the Clippers. I don't care about Zubac. I think he could get 30 points alone. But Harden's going to throw up some threes. KPJ's going to throw up some threes. He's going to get his boards, all right? And Sabonis, he's going to get his points. So, overall, I got 3 lineups in for tonight, and the winnings can be $352.50. Man, that's lunch for the whole week, bro. That's lunch for the whole week, man. Shit. I'm taking you on a date type money right there, all right? So, let me tell you real quick, but a little slower. I got Jalen Green over 2.5 threes made versus the Thunder. Granted, what I'm telling you right now, they probably raised it up. Like I said, I had Alperen Şengün over 3.5 assists. They bumped it down to 2.5, all right? And I got Tyrese Haliburton 13.5 rebounds plus assists. On my second one, I got Stephen Curry, 2.5 threes made. I got Tamar Bates, 1.5 threes made, all right? So give me 2. Give me 3 and 2 threes from both of these guys. Like I said, I spun back again to Tamar Bates, 1.5 threes made. I need 2. I got over 14 plus rebounds plus assists for Alperen Şengün. For Mark Mitchell, I got 10.5 over on 10.5 points versus Howard. And for lastly, I got Sabonis over 30 rebounds plus points. All right, man. You heard it first. I think that's all going to hit, man. I'm very confident. I've never been confident more than tickets than that, bro. That's instincts. That's research. You notice how I'm just cooking, all right, man. I feel confident. Last time I went basketball, I won. All right, I'm going to keep this momentum rolling, all right? On Monday, I'll let y'all know how I'm doing because you'll hear it in my voice. Especially if I do cook some shit up on Sunday, which you'll see on the Twitter, at WannaFlow, WNNAFLO _. Catch that as well, man. I'll probably put some stuff out for NFL, but yeah, you heard it here first. Those are some money makers. When I put my timestamps in, it's going to be labeled money makers because that's all I do for y'all. I make y'all money, all right? But lastly, let's wrap it up. Let's talk that NFL slate on Sunday. NFL Sunday. All right, we got an interesting slate to tell you about, all right? First, we kick it off 8:30 a.m. Everybody in America will probably be sleeping in unless you live in New Jersey, New York, and Carolina because, my God, you got the 2-7 Giants versus the 2-7 Panthers. I don't have to say much about this game. I'm not waking up to watch it. Damn it, I ain't even waking up to watch the highlights. I don't need to know who won this game. I don't need to know who got their stats. Unless Malik Nabers goes off, please don't tell me about this game, man, all right? Unless Sexy Dexter gets a few sacks, don't tell me about this game, bro. I got the Giants winning this one. They're going to have to get a third one somewhere. This is the game, all right? Malik Nabers, he'll probably go off. That's it. That's all I'm talking about this game. For the noon slate, first we'll kick it off. Chiefs Broncos, 5-4. Bo Nix-led offense versus the 8-0 Chiefs. Chiefs at home, favored by 7.5 if Real isn't lying to me. But shout out to Real Lab. Sponsor me. Anyways, you got the Chiefs. Yeah, that's all I got to say. You got the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs. They're not losing to the Broncos, man. This can be a close game, but they only lost to the Broncos last year because Patrick Mahomes had the flu. All right? If Mahomes didn't have the flu, he would have still whooped the Broncos up, man. But anyways, we're past that. It's a new year. New teams. All right? Kansas City's going to win this one, man. D-Hop, another week, another few practices with the playbook. Expect him to hopefully hit 100. Kareem Hunt, this rushing attack, they're going to kill it as always. Travis Kelce, you know he's going to get his. I'm just excited to watch this team again, man, all right? Those first few weeks, it was just dreadful. Now, I'm excited, man. I got hope every Sunday waking up and be like, oh, I get Chiefs football. I got that feeling back. Thank you, Patrick Mahomes. As for the Broncos side of things, the only way they make this game close is if they can stop the run and guys like Patrick Surtain, guys on the defensive side of the ball show up. Offensively, if they can be able to control the time of possession, do what the Bucs did last week, get clutch third downs, scramble a little. If Bo Nix can not get pressured, you know, the Broncos can stay in this game and possibly win, all right? That's a real possibility, but overall, I think I got the Chiefs winning. At 12 o'clock, you got the 2-7 Patriots versus the 4-4 Bears. Drake May, Caleb Williams. All right, going to be a good game for rookie quarterbacks, all right? But overall, I got the Bears. The Bears got to get a win somehow, and this is the game. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if Dre made play out his mind and gave New England this one. But I can't get myself to think about that, dog. Give me the Bears on this one. Roman Dudze, Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, Keenan, DJ Moore. I expect a good game for all of them. Defensively, I think it's going to be huge for the Bears to limit the Patriots. If you let Drake May get his game off, you let this team stay into it, you deserve to lose the game, all right? You need to dominate this team and prove that you are worthy of a playoff spot, because I believe you, they can still make the playoffs. That 6 and 7 seed spot, open, all right? It's a chance, all right? You can make it. I believe in them. Damn it, hold on. Maybe it's not that open. Now that I think about it, they got some work to do, all right? Because I'm pretty sure if the 6th seed, you're gonna have the Eagles, I think Vikings and Packers, all are, I think, 3 wild card teams right now. So the Bears got some work to do, but give me the Bears in this one by multiple scores. Next up, you got Joe Flacco versus Josh Allen. The Colts at home give me trap game vibes. I think the Colts can very well win a game like this, but Joe Flacco, all I can ask is out of Buffalo's defense is you get pressure on Joe Flacco and you win this game. Oh, that's all I ask. If you can get pressure on Joe Flacco, I don't see how you don't win this game. Just don't let big plays, don't let up big plays and get pressure on Joe Flacco, and this game is yours. Offensively, you just need to limit turnovers, control the time of possession, and let Josh Allen play his game, and you can win this game. So give me the Bills, man. This game is giving me trap game vibes, but I can't get myself to think about it. As long as the Bills defense shows up, Joe Flacco can't cook, man. Next up, we got the 6-2 Vikings on the road versus 2-7 Jaguars. Give me the Vikings. That's just a heartbreaker last week for the Jaguars, man. Once you get your heart broke like that, it's either you come back and play the game of your lives next week, or that damn sadness follows you. And I think it's going to follow them this week at home. Probably not going to have a lot of fans at the stadium, in the stands. Justin Jefferson versus Tyson Campbell. I'm trolling. I don't know who guarded Justin Jefferson on Sunday, but Sam Darnold, just give me them Vikes, man. Coming off after beating another AFC South opponent in the Colts, I think they do it again. They handle the Jaguars, and I think at the end of Sunday night, Doug Peterson will be fired. That's my bold prediction. Doug Peterson, Dougie P, will be fired, because no Christian Kirk, no Trevor Lawrence, no Brian Thomas Jr., Mac Jones versus Sam Darnold, the vibes are going to be bad, so I still think Dougie P gets fired. You know, it's not his fault if they lose this game, but 8 losses. You're down there with the Giants, Giants, Panthers. You probably got to go, bro. And that's unfortunate. They're going to have to take the blame for somebody, but somebody's going to have to go. Next up, NFC South, the 6-3 Falcons versus the 2-7 Saints. New interim head coach Dennis Allen is out of there, and, well, Derek Carr is still quarterback, so give me the Falcons winning this one. In the Superdome, Marshawn Lattimore gone. You know, he went to the Commanders, and that just made me realize that I forgot to talk about the whole NFL trade deadline, but I'm going to talk about it with every team that pops up. So, as I just said, Marshawn Lattimore traded for a surplus of picks in the day 2 slot. All right, it's a good move for the Saints because you got picks, and for the Commanders, it's a great move. You get a good cornerback as you try to pursue the NFC East title, but overall, man, your season's over. You slid 7 in a row. Soon to be 8 in a row. Look at that Saints schedule, man. I don't know how easy it gets. It actually gets a little easier. You get the Browns right after the Falcons. But after that, I mean, you get the Rams. You get the Giants, which will be easy. But then you get the Commanders, Packers, Raiders. So, unfortunately, in the year where you're probably better off tanking, the damn Saints are going to somehow beat the Browns, the Giants, and the Raiders. Get 5 wins and probably beat the Buccaneers that last weekend. Get 6 wins and take themselves out of getting an elite quarterback. But I believe Derek Carr is an anti-tanker. So, get ready for that, Saints fans. Next up, you got the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Bucks. You know, I think a sneaky good game. 2 teams that want to still be in the playoffs. 2 teams that are kind of looking out right now, you know, because of that stack NFC North. You got these 2 teams that are on stacked divisions themselves. The Falcons and Bucks. Niners with the Rams and Seahawks and Cardinals. So, this is a big game for the Niners, man. You lose this one, you're probably going to be last in your division or tied with last. For the Bucks, you don't want to drop to 4-6. You just can't let that happen, all right? Try to keep your head above water. Wait for Mike Evans to return. Get some momentum going, but give me the Niners, though. They're fresh off a bye. Juwan Jennings is healthy. Guys back in health. Of course, if you know, if you everybody knows the election results, so Nick Bosa is probably going to get a few sacks. So stuff like that, man. You know, it is what it is. Give me the Niners winning that one. Next, you got I think what could be probably game of the day. You got the Commanders and Steelers. Steelers, who just recently traded for Mike Williams, adds another weapon for Russell Wilson and co. I think I like that move for them. You know, why not? But for a cheap price, why not go get Mike Williams? He'll do you solid. He'll get you right. Commanders, like I said, with Marshawn Lattimore, he got you a nice little cornerback. But bolster up that room with Dan Quinn and continue to cruise your way to the NFC East title. It's important. Capitalize off Daniel Daniels now, man. On that rookie contract, go for it. He proved that he looks like a quarterback that can be on a championship winning squad. I'm not trying to say he's a Super Bowl winner automatically, man, but on a good playoff team, he is very well can be that elite quarterback. So in this game at home, momentum's rolling. Give me the Commanders, but I won't be shocked if the Steelers win this one. It'll be a really good game. Can't wait to watch this one, but it's going to be a really good game. And now we get to the mid-afternoon. You got the 2-6 Titans versus the 5-3 Chargers. Give me the Chargers. Justin Herbert, probably going to be a stamp game. Two teams, I think, that were silent at the deadline, so we don't got really to worry about talking about them. But, yeah, it's going to be a bad game for the Titans. Mason Rudolph, Will Levis, whoever plays quarterback, they're just not going to win this game. Don't got to talk about it for long. Give me the Chargers. Next up, and what is going to be an important game for both teams, you got the 3-6 Jets versus the 5-4 Cardinals. We haven't seen the Jets since Halloween when they beat the Texans, so they are rested. They are healthy. Of course, they moved on from Mike Williams this past deadline, and now they go play a Cardinals team who has a lot of momentum at home, mid-afternoon. Give me the Cardinals, man. I think this is going to be the game that ends the Jets season for sure. I know it's going to be like, it's really not out of it, but with 7 losses, you would have to win out. You have to win out to get to a 10-7 record and hopefully the playoffs, but I don't see them doing that. I think this is the final nail in the coffin, and I think the Cardinals will deliver it. Kyler Murray, they're going to do their thing. Marvin Harrison Jr., give me the Cardinals to finally end the Jets season, man. And in the big slate, you had the Cowboys versus the Eagles. You know, America game of the week, huh? 3-5 Cowboys versus the 6-2 Eagles. I bet this is going to be a good one. You got Cooper Rush versus Jalen Hurts. Give me the Eagles. They're going to wipe the floor with the Cowboys. Of course, the Cowboys just traded for Jonathan Mingo for a 4th-round pick. That 4th-round pick for Jonathan Mingo costed more than Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and I think he was around the same price as Davante Adams. So, shout out Jerry Jones, man. Elite GM, elite guy all around. For the Eagles, though, I don't see how you lose this game. If Cooper Rush is able to compete with you, we got some conversations to have, all right? Because that shouldn't happen, all right? That should not happen. So, give me the Eagles wiping the floor. Nobody cares to watch that game. But lastly, though, 10 tonight, you got the Texans versus the Lions. Great Sunday night football game. Nico Collins, right now, is questionable to play, but Texans rested off that Thursday night football game. We last seen them off when they lost to the Jets. Huge game. You're 6-3 right now. You probably still will win the division, but you got the Lions right now. You'll get Monday night football versus the Cowboys next week. You'll get the Titans, Jaguars, Dolphins, and then the Chiefs and Ravens back-to-back weeks. So, I mean, this is just a good game, you know, to get your juices flowing, you know. Be a chick contender. Establish yourself as still being a contender minus the injuries. Stephon Diggs out for the year. Nico Collins most likely to probably be out this game as well. If you can get that rushing attack going with Joe Mixon, who we've seen, still playing an elite level, keep C.J. Stroud protected for the love of God. Make sure he doesn't get hit the floor more than 3 times on Sunday, and you can win this game, all right? On the flip side of things, you just got to make sure you can limit the rushing attack of the Lions. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, best 1-2 punch in the league right now. Jared Goff playing at, I would say, MVP level because, hell, he's doing all the right things and his team is winning. 7-1, second best record in the league. If you can get this statement win in those red unis, we'll keep all eyes on you, Houston. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening, man. Give me the Lions to win this one. I just don't see it happening, dude. I just don't see it happening, man. I just think this Lions team is too good. They added, of course, Za'Darius Smith at the deadline. I love that move. Bolster up that D-line, of course, that missed an Aiden Hutchinson. So that was another great move. Trey White to the Ravens, which that's not to add nothing. He was a healthy scratch. He's washed. But yeah, man, NFL trade deadline was cool. This NFL slate is going to be amazing. And we're going to end the night off with the Lions beating the Texans. And on Monday, I'll talk the Rams and Dolphins. So that's going to be a decent one, hopefully. But as of now, that's it for today's episode, man, on the Born to Ball podcast on this beautiful Friday. We're going to wrap it up just like that, of course, you know. Real quick, I'll recap my winners. I had the Chiefs, the Giants, the Bears, the Bills, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Niners, the Commanders, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Eagles, and the Lions. So if you want to go out there and put a money line ticket together, those are the teams you need to expect. You heard it here first. Born to Ball podcast. I just leaked all the winners. Roger Goodell just gave me the script. But yeah, that's it. All right. It's not the longest episode ever, but I love this episode. I had the juices to do it. And hey, I like the way this one turned out. So on Monday, we'll talk Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football. We'll talk whatever happened, NBA world. We'll have some stuff to talk about, all right? I can't wait for Monday. I can't wait to talk to you guys again. And as always, this is Kenny G, and this has been the Born to Ball podcast. So peace out, y'all. Mwah.